This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by TrivaPro Fungicide from Syngenta for corn growers who need a harder working, longer lasting fungicide. His industrial average is up only about 500 points after Joe Biden had a big day on Super Tuesday. It's almost as if equities anticipated Biden would win. Grains are mixed and livestock futures are on the plus side of unchanged. And the weather and spring conditions are back in the spotlight.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we're talking weather with Michael Clark from BAM WX. Then it's on to our Farmer Forum with panelists Sherman Newland and Chad Ingalls. And right after the news, an update from Margie Eckelkamp from AgPro Magazine. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Appreciate that. And
yeah,
welcome. Welcome to AgriTalk on a Wednesday. That means it's a Farmer Forum day. I love it.
Yeah.
I love this. And setting up the conversation with Chad and Sherman today is going to be Michael Clark. You guys are used to hearing Michael on Monday mornings for a quick hit on what to expect in the week ahead on weather. We're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into what Michael sees coming this spring. So should be a good conversation. Looking forward to that. A little bit of madness in the markets again today, isn't there?
Oh, yes, yes. The volatility continues.
Yes, and it's March. You know what
all
that makes it, right? You know what that makes it?
Spring insanity?
Or madness March? I think I got that wrong. What? Isn't it March Madness?
I believe it is March Madness.
I think it is.
It's the alliteration we're going for. Yeah.
That's right. And Farm Journal is joining in on the fun with its first ever Bracket Buster Challenge. Listen up, everybody.
What's this now?
Yeah, you got to head to agweb.com on the evening of March 15th. That is Selection Sunday.
Right.
To make your picks. Entries will close when the first game starts on Thursday the 19th. And the top three brackets are going to win Amazon gift cards.
Whoa. All right.
All right.
See, I've done brackets in years past and come in dead last and wound up purchasing libations for the entire office as a result.
I remember that.
Yes, yes. Since then, I've been hesitant to fill in a bracket.
I think you should get in there, buddy.
I'm doing it. This is my year. I'm going all the way this year.
$500 for first, $250 for second, and $100 for third.
$500?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. Wow.
Yep. So it's just, you know, it's nice that the prizes are there, but it's just for fun. And plus, you're going to be able to compete against Davis, Clinton Griffiths, Tyne Morgan, me, Mike Hoffman, Machinery Pete. Yep, he's going to be in there, too. So
you're saying this is wide open. Anyone who wants to visit agweb.com and click on it, it's open to them. They can join.
Join in.
Fantastic.
The fun for March Madness.
That is fun.
It's madness. Gotta wait till March 15th. Yeah, in the March Madness of the Denver, Iowa Cyclone girls basketball team,
they
came to an end in the first round of the state tournament. But the Dyke New Hartford girls are still winning in Class 3A, right?
My son really, really likes our chances, but I really think he just enjoys going to the games. Pretty sure.
I gotcha.
It's got something to do with it.
nothing wrong with that. We got a lot to cover. Let's go ahead and get to it.
Well, as you said, Super Tuesday is in the books, and former Vice President Joe Biden had a very strong showing, capturing support in nine states, including Texas. That narrows the race for the Democratic presidential nomination between himself and former frontrunner Bernie Sanders, who took the top spot in delegate-rich California. Senator Elizabeth Warren struggled to maintain support, failing to carry even her home state of Massachusetts. Meanwhile, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg carried American Samoa after having spent roughly $215 million in key primary states. Chip?
Does American Samoa even have a delegate?
They must have at least one.
That is the most expensive delegate ever. Ever in the history of the process.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, Bloomberg's out this morning.
He's out for sure now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. He's made the announcement, and he's going to throw his support behind Biden, which in this day and age, throwing Bloomberg support behind somebody means, number one, you've got coverage
right.
at Bloomberg. Number two, you've got hundreds of millions of dollars at your disposal.
Boom.
In order to beat President Trump in the November election now. Well, now the race starts.
Global cases of the coronavirus have increased to more than 93,000, with China reporting 38 more fatalities. South Korea reports more infections and is requesting $9.8 billion to help businesses cope with the related economic slowdown. A Japanese minister says Tokyo is mulling postponing this summer's Olympic Games, and the European Central Bank is restricting all non-essential travel until April 20. The death toll from the virus in the United States has risen to 9, with all virus-related fatalities coming from Washington State.
Yeah.
In other news, USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue says his Chinese counterparts have been doing their due diligence to ensure the technical changes to regulations are in place to allow for full compliance with the Phase 1 trade deal. Perdue noted he understands the prove-it attitude among farmers when it comes to China's promised increased purchases and work to assure the public the deal will be honored. Now, Chip Perdue also reports USDA is developing a matrix that will help the agency monitor China's compliance. That's interesting.
That's cool. That's cool. That's part of the monitoring that we need, the verification that they are attempting to live up to the terms of the agreement.
Yep. And quickly here, the Trump administration has until March 9 to respond to a recent court decision on the RFS and small refinery exemptions. Most believe EPA will scale back its use of the exemptions. Environmental Protection Agency Director Andrew Wheeler will appear before a congressional panel today to discuss the matter. Chip.
Very good. I hope for, I hope that they decide that they are going to stick with the ruling from the 10th District Court out in Denver.
Yeah, and we may that the we may SREs, have something on that by this afternoon. So we'll
yeah, very
posted.
Good, very good. All right, Davis, thank you. Let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp. She's the editor of Ag Professional. Margie, man, for the retailers that are so reliant on just-in-time deliveries for a lot of the products that they take out to the farm, this coronavirus thing is getting in the way, isn't it?
It is something that folks in the industry are continuing to keep their eyes on, and I think it's important to note that this is on the heels of so much concern around the Chinese tariffs on active ingredients that were being sourced from China. You know, a lot of products and formulations are finished here in the United States, but you know, the tariffs affected active ingredients and a lot of molecules that are really important. And now there's concerns over not only crop protection products coming out of China, but also fertilizer for the global market because of quarantines. And it's just folks who aren't able to produce these goods because they're on quarantine. One industry person mentioned that some of the quarantines and the factory shutdowns are 2 weeks long, but that can have a really long tail because you can't just turn off and turn on these factories, right? It takes a little bit longer to get them back online, get them back into production. And then there's obviously the logistical considerations, loading things on containers, containers being shipped across the ocean and being received here, and then any customs delays. So a lot of suppliers are at least trying to be as proactive as possible and getting ready if they need to shift production of formulated goods because of the AIs they are receiving at any time and making a prioritized shift and change when things are indeed received.
Okay. All right. So is developing a plan B too early for that, or should we be thinking about that?
I think it's just like anybody else and all of us in the U.S. getting ready for coronavirus, right? It's keep your eyes and ears open and get ready for what may happen.
Very good, Margie. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week. That is Margie Eckelkamp, the editor of Ag Professional. Coming up next, we're talking spring weather and the growing season with Michael Clark from FAMWX. As many of you know, plant health was a major concern for corn growers in 2019 due to the poor weather conditions. Today, Agronomy Service Representative for Syngenta, Sarah Jahant, is here with us to discuss why plant health is so important and how Trivapro fungicide delivers exceptional plant health benefits in addition to the broad-spectrum disease control. Sarah, that plant health, taking it deep into the season, it is so important, isn't it?
It really is, Chip. You know, typically we want our guys to be thinking disease control first, but we've seen in many seasons when disease control is really just needed for light to moderate disease pressure, we've seen pretty impressive yield improvements just from a plant health benefit. So We've got a number of growers that, regardless of what the disease forecast is for the year, they're using TriverPro because they know they can have improved water use efficiency. We can boost aug strength and stalk health, as well as maximizing grain fill just with the plant health benefits.
Okay. So, Sarah, we're making decisions now on what we're going to be using in 2020. What else should we be thinking about?
You know, I think what growers do is intensely manage corn in this country. We manage all the parameters that growers are well familiar that challenge them in maximizing their yield and their test weight and all the parameters. I think where we are now is the last piece of that puzzle, the use of a really good residual fungicide at grain fill to maximize all the effort that we put in season long. So making an application with TriverPro, whether you're experiencing a wet year with high disease pressure or a normal year where you don't have a lot of disease pressure, that application can help you just from the plant health benefit.
Thank you, Sarah. That is Sarah Jahant. She's an agronomy service representative for Syngenta.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Protect diesel engines with premium Senex lubricants. Choose SuperLube TMS, a conventional heavy-duty diesel engine oil engineered to deliver protection for new, current, and older diesel engines. SuperLube TMS protects against soot, prevents sludge deposits, and slows oil thickening. The power needed to weather long hours and heavy, dusty road conditions. The power of Senex lubricants keeps engines running like a well-oiled machine.
Senex is a brand of CHS.
The sounds of success vary from person to person.
Over to second in time on the first double play.
Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. When you pick Credenz, you get a precise variety that fits your field. A variety built to work in your soil type and conditions with targeted traits for local pest and disease pressures. Earning the satisfaction of a successful soybean crop? That's smart. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was the burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me back in the studio.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to welcome in Michael Clark from BAMWX.com right now. You guys know Michael. He's on with us every Monday morning. Give us a quick hit on what to expect from the weather, but we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into it. Michael, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good, Chip. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm doing good today. How are you?
I'm just dandy. Just dandy. Hey, man, Monday morning, you were all over that line of storms, that thunderstorm that rolled through and kind of tore up, not kind of, tore up parts of Tennessee.
Yeah.
We had some light showers in the middle of the Midwest last night. Nothing too significant, I don't think. But here we are on March 4th, Michael, and this really feels like a spring pattern. Am I off base?
No, I personally agree. I mean, it's kind of the first time in a long time that we could say that in the last few years. We've just had so much extreme, you know, patterns in the last couple of years that it feels like spring. I mean, severe weather in the deep South is not that uncommon. It's kind of doing what it's supposed to do right now.
Yeah, absolutely, which is a change from the past few years because winter has hung on so late. And I'm not saying that we're done with snow. I mean, can we say that?
Mm-hmm. I don't think we can say that completely, but my gut feeling is we're pretty much done. I mean, the polar vortex, the Arctic, the source of the cold air, it's on the other side of the planet. You know, it's about ready to say its goodbyes. So it's definitely different from the last couple of years, for sure.
Well, good, good. Now, I know when we talked on Monday, as you were looking out to the end of March, I shouldn't say the end of March, not yet, the middle of March, you were talking about the likelihood of some above normal temperatures. National Weather Service is supporting that in the 6 to 10 and the 8 to 14 day. Take us beyond that and into the early parts of April, Michael. Does that warmer than normal trend continue?
Yeah, I really think so. I mean, I think that we're looking at quite a bit of above normal temperatures, you know, especially as we get deeper into, you know, next week into the 3 to 4 week outlook and beyond. We have some indications that it's just really going to be pretty warm. I mean, yeah, it's going to be really warm next week. It's going to be spring. It's definitely in the air, especially in the central U.S. But central eastern U.S. out through the next 3 to 4 weeks, we keep it warm to much above normal temperatures east, and then the colder or the lower, you know, colder risk will be in the western U.S., like the western third from the Rockies west.
Okay, all right. Now the guys up in the Dakotas, North Dakota in particular, are still looking to get rid of a lot of snow up there. What are they looking at over the next 6-8 weeks? For a temperature trend and precip trend?
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, I think it's a warmer and drier look to things. I mean, a couple of things I want to note, Chip, with respect to those areas that's very important in my opinion is the lack of precipitation that we've had just in the last 60 days. I mean, even 30 days. If we look at the percentages of normal precip in the Dakotas, Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, You're running 5 to 20% of the normal.
Really?
I mean, there are places here in the last 30 days that haven't had more than a quarter inch of rain, especially in North Dakota and Minnesota. It's just, if you look at a percent of normal precip map, the Midwest and the Northern Plains, there's a lot of red. It's dry. And so I think that it can stay a little bit drier up there, and it can get warm, pretty warm, really. So favorable, nice for those guys. I mean, for a change, you know, we're not talking about digging out livestock from 30 inches of snow in April.
Right, right, right. And it should help us with our flood risk this spring, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you can think of something kind of opposite from last year, this is it. I mean, this is not. Good. I don't see that at all right now. So
good, good, yeah. Good, good. Okay, if you were going to be concerned about spring planting in any part of the country, you know, it's been so wet in Kentucky and Tennessee, that southeastern production area, the southern areas, Delta, it's been so wet. But if you're going to be most concerned about the planting season, what part of the country might that be?
Honestly, the area you just described, the lower Ohio Valley, the Tennessee Valley, the Delta areas, the Ark-La-Tex areas down there, I think it can continue to remain active, not only in the form of rainfall, but the severe weather risk this year may be elevated. The tornado risk may be elevated at times when we have a stretch of dry, but then we bring in a big storm system that can bring, you know, powerful storms into that area as well. So not only a risk at wet, but maybe some enhanced severe weather concerns this year as well.
Okay. What's the driving factor? What is driving the weather patterns that we're going to see this planting season?
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's Enzo. It's the evolution of Enzo. Honestly, it's where we've been to where we're going. Our team has done a lot of research on 2-year El Nino events because we're coming off of a 2-year El Nino. Every 2-year El Nino event that we've ever had, ever on record, by the end of that second year, we slip into a weak La Nina. And as that transition happens, severe weather episodes are elevated, and then it waves more concerns further into the growing season. We can talk about in a second, but the primary driver here, in our opinion, is the evolution of Enzo, and it's cooling off into that potentially weak La Nina territory.
I don't know if I've ever heard that before, Michael. The analysis on a 2-year El Nino.
I'll email them to you, Chip, at the end of the show and show you those years. But we have 2-year El Ninos, and every time that we wane on the end of those events, I can give you some recent ones. 1986, 1988, 03, 05, and 14 and 16. The end of those years, 88, 05, 16, at the end, we slip into a cooler Enzo. And so the research is there. It's strongly supported.
And then, obviously, you've got the 88 situation, drought across the Midwest. 05, if I remember correctly, was a very centralized drought that was basically in the shape of Illinois, because it was basically only in Illinois, if I remember correctly.
You're exactly right. Yeah, it was very, very centralized, very localized that year.
Yeah.
And a lot of that came from and 05 was a record hurricane year. I mean, we had hurricanes and tropical storms like crazy, which saved a lot of people from significant droughts. We had tropical moisture.
Yep. Okay. All right. Growing season. It sounds like you're going to throw a yellow flag in the air and say, hey, there's something to watch out for.
Yeah, I am. I think that if Enzo can continue on this, a lot of our research, not only with the 2-year El Ninos, the Indian Ocean dipole, the evolution there, is that a weak La Nina or a cool neutral Enzo could develop. And that yields a hotter and drier risk to the forecast, primarily July and beyond, because I think May and June can still be wet and active at times. But I think the heat can be intense, and the drier risks can certainly grow from July and beyond. So, you know, it's a risk for now to watch this warmer and drier concern for the growing season. I don't know that it's going to be as ideal as it has been the last several years.
Yeah, and again, it sounds like a change in direction from what we've experienced the past few years, like you just said, because we've been able to stay cool enough, late enough in the growing season to extend the growing season and extend our grain fill time. Boy, if we don't get that, it's hard telling how we end up with the crop this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something to consider. Now, keep in mind, in the last 7 to 8 years, I mean, when we get these heat domes in over the growing regions, we do tend to see that northwest flow that can help, you know, keep moisture around.
Yeah.
So that's something, you know, it doesn't mean we're talking about a serious drought here. I mean, there's a lot of factors, but the general idea, you know, kind of sees that as a risk.
Gotcha. Michael. It's always good to talk with you every Monday morning, but it's more fun when we get to spend this much time going through this. And please, if I can get a look at that analysis of coming off of 2-year El Ninos, I would greatly appreciate that.
Yep, you got it, buddy. I'll send it to you. And
we love coming on. Appreciate you having us.
Very good. Thank you, Michael. That is Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. That was some of the most unique analysis on El Nino and the transition to La Nina and the current ENSO status that I've heard for quite a while. I appreciate that a lot. All right. When we come back, we're going to get the take on what that means for 2020 growing season next in a Farmer Forum on AgriTalk. At Brandt, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EnzUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store and can increase yield up to 15%. So don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EnzUp enzymes by Brandt. Find EnzUp at Brandt.co.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, you know me. Normally, I would go to the plus signs for the first part of the conversation here. But this doggone wheat has got me baffled. It just doesn't want to participate in a recovery. What is going on?
Well, four closes yesterday, finished no better than mid-range, and I think that has something to do with it. And, you know, there just isn't really any bullish news out there. So we've got corn and wheat trying to pull to the upside, but we've got wheat countering that by pulling to the downside. And, you know, if we have to look at anything, it's the fact that the funds were way more heavily short on corn and soybeans and, you know, still long in the winter wheat markets.
Yep. So maybe we're just cleansing this market a bit and wiping out some of those positions. But it is good to see the gains in corn and soybeans again.
Yeah. Once again, it just wasn't a real good finish yesterday. So we'll see if we can hold on to those gains. It wasn't a poor finish, but mid-range for corn, a little bit about mid-range to lower range for soybeans. But, you know, we'll have to see how it finishes up. I'd be encouraged if we get a high-range close, but more so than what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, July corn is trading above December corn. The bull spreads are working in here. I don't know if it's telling us that the demand is coming in or not, but the bull spreads are working.
Well, they are. I think we need to see more than just that at the moment. You know, we probably need to see the effect of the money flow back into the long side of the market on an active basis before I can, you know, say a low is in place.
Yeah, very good. We've also got solid gains going in live cattle, feeder cattle, and lean hogs. Thank you, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Chip, I just got to bust in here.
Yeah.
And I hate to stop Jerry Reed short, but this is even more important than Jerry Reed. March Madness is here. Yes. Farm Journal is joining in on the fun with its first ever Bracket Busters Challenge. Go to agweb.com on the evening of March 15. That's Selection Sunday, Chip, and make your picks. Entries close when the first game starts on Thursday, the 19th of March. The top three brackets will win Amazon gift cards, Chip.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Let's see if we can all beat Davis. That would be a lot of fun.
Good luck with that, America.
Love it, love it, love it. And welcome back. Okay, I'm Chip. That's Davis. And I want to jump right into this Farmer Forum. This is going to be fun. We've got Sherman Newland from Southern Illinois. He joins us right now. Sherman, it's good to talk with you again.
Hi, Chip. How are you?
I'm doing real well. You delivering any seed, getting ready for the spring?
Getting ready to, yeah. We're getting seed sorted, waiting for more seed to come in. It's getting to be that time of year.
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir, no doubt. And Chad Ingles from Northeast Iowa joins us. Chad, it's always fun to talk with you. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Chip. It's a beautiful day here in Northeast Iowa. Blue skies, no clouds.
Yep. I got to ask, before we start talking about weather more and crop conditions, how's the hog business treating you?
Well, it's not too bad. The program I sell into, we've got a very attractive base price that is well above the commercial market right now, so it's not doing too bad.
Okay, so the program that you're involved in, tell us a bit about it.
Yep, so it's Nyman Ranch.
Yep.
It's what they call a natural, I kind of call it a retro program. Deeply bedded pens or outside lots or pasture. Mine are all on concrete, but in deeply bedded pens. Lot based on meat quality, that kind of thing. So they want a little more back fat, a little more intramuscular fat. There's only about 600 farmers that are in that program right now.
So. Yeah, but you see it show up on restaurants, on menus at some of the high-end restaurants, the Nyman Ranch pork, and you don't shy away from it when you see it. I kind of go for it.
I've just happened to cross it out on vacation. Thing, you go into a restaurant somewhere and you happen to cross it, and of course I buy it. And it's in a lot of grocery stores across the country too.
Absolutely. Okay, Sherman, did you stay north of those storms that rolled through the other night, or did you catch those down there in Southern Illinois?
We stayed north of the worst of the storms. Well, I mean, we did catch some rain and stuff. We had another half inch here the other night. But, yeah, the severe storms, they stayed way south down in Tennessee and whatnot.
Yeah.
We were lucky we missed all that.
What kind of field conditions you looking at down there, Sherman?
Wet. Wet. I mean, I'd listen to Michael, you know, talking about some dry weather. We'll be looking forward to some warmer weather and some dry weather, because right now we've got water standing in our fields. We're just totally saturated. Our soil profile is full at the moment. So very wet. You know, we did manage to get some nitrogen on our wheat the other day on that light freeze that we had, so we got that done. But other than that, we're waiting for the ground to dry out so we can maybe start getting some fertilizer down or some ammonia down or something later on.
Yeah. Now, fields as saturated as they are right now, that is not normal for your part of the world, is it?
It seems to be getting to be more the norm.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I mean, it really is. We fight wet weather down here, it seems like, more and more every year. Getting into the field, or if we can get into the field, then we get rained out for a month, and then we're pushing the end of the May before we can get back in. So a normal spring or an early spring would be very, very welcome for a change.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Chad, what's your situation?
Well, we've got a very full soil profile. The snow's melting just beautifully, slowly. We've got on our stalks, there's still a fair amount of snow, but it's melting slow. Bean stubble is pretty wide open. In our immediate area, you don't have to go very far south, and everything's pretty wide open right now. And some dry fertilizer will be going on.
Yeah. Sherman, you said you'd be looking at if things were drier, you might be looking at putting some nitrogen down. It seems to me that you want to be rolling middle of March in your area, don't you?
We'd like to be, but we typically don't get to be going that early around here. I mean, if you're going in the 1st of April, that's pretty early for us, seems like, as far as trying to put on ammonia. But we have done it in March before. I mean, guys will just wait and see what the temperatures look like and what the ground conditions are. But with this forecast, it looks like maybe we'll get a chance in an early, application of ammonia this year.
Yeah. The timetable doesn't sound that far off from what you're used to dealing with, does it, Chad?
No, I think we're going to set up pretty nice here the way things look right now. And like Sherman, maybe the end of the month, but we might be able to get doing something.
Yeah, very good. All right, Chad, for those of you that don't know it, is kind of a cover crop guru in the state of Iowa and a water quality guru. What'd you learn from cover crops in 2019 with all the water that you had to deal with, Chad?
Well, I started learning in 2018 that I shouldn't necessarily wait in our part of the country to put cover crops on after the primary crop comes out, because I didn't get any put on in the fall of 18 to deal with in 19. So
right.
I went back to aerial applying in the last fall and had a very good stand. I haven't really been out poking around because they're all in my corn stalks, still covered up with some snow, but it looked really good last fall. And I'm even going to try frost seeding some. I've been hearing a little bit about that from different places, mostly on Twitter, and I'm going to try maybe 30, 40 acres of frost seeding here as soon as the snow melts and on some nice frozen mornings. But
What exactly are you trying to accomplish with the cover crops, Chad?
Well, number one is reduce some erosion. Number two is suck up some loose nitrogen. And then thirdly, I've really been able to see us be able to reduce some herbicide on the beans and maybe even get by with only one pass on beans rather than two on herbicide.
Wow. Wow. Sherman, cover crops, are they catching on in your area?
A little bit. I mean, not big time. It just doesn't seem like it. Guys are, trying it real prevalent down in this area. We did try some oats and radishes on some ground that we didn't get planted last summer or spring, so we'll kind of see how that plays out for us this year. That's some of the first we've done as far as that goes, but it's slowly catching on maybe, but it's not still all that prevalent.
Gotcha. Water quality, Chad, we continue to talk about it in the state of Iowa, and it's becoming more and more of a Midwest issue. And admittedly, Des Moines Water Works kind of forced it on us here in the state of Iowa to address it and tackle it as aggressively as Iowa farmers have, I think. But it's still a very much a front burner issue for us, and cover crops and the buffer strips and everything. That's all part of the equation, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And there's some newer practices coming down with the bioreactors and saturated buffers. They cost a little extra right at the edge of the field, but you don't lose any production ground. But it's going to take the public investment to really be able to put a lot of those kind of practices in. We can do a lot with cover crops, but like Sherman said, it's a slow process. People like to try them out a little bit at a time, and it's going to take a while to really get a big number of acres to make a big difference.
Yeah. The best thing about what is happening so far is that there's more of a, and Chad, if I'm wrong, correct me, but there's more of a carrot approach to the efforts to control to improve water quality than there is a stick approach, right?
Oh, definitely. And I think if you come out and start regulating some of these practices or mandating them, you're going to have a pretty hard pushback. People have to be able to fit these kind of practices into their operation, and we need a lot of flexibility in how we implement cover crops or other practices that would benefit water quality.
Yeah, boy, Sherman, can you imagine if all of a sudden some of these practices are mandated? It's got to remain voluntary if it's going to work, right?
Oh, yeah, I would think so. Yeah, you would get a lot of pushback. I mean, because it's just not something you're going to adapt to, you know, overnight or in 1 year. I mean, like I said, it's going to take some time to get, you know, get onto that and see how it's going to work. I mean, a lot of our problems down here is trying to get several crops and getting them seeded in time, you know, to get the growth that you want. Out of them before the fall. So that seems to be a big thing that kind of holds guys back.
And Sherman, if it takes away from what you're doing in your row crop production, that's going to make it even tougher so you need the time to discover how the two can work together, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, because if you got to put them on while the crop's still standing, I mean, that typically means down here you got to fly it on.
Yeah.
You know, unless you plant something really early, like early maturity type of a crop, and then get that off and then, you know, sow the seed and work it in. So that's something different there even to deal with. So
exactly. All right. We're talking with Chad Ingles from Northeast Iowa and Sherman Newland from Illinois. When we come back, we're going to change the subject here a little bit. I want to know what they think about the process that the Democrats are going through to nominate a president for the ballot. And has the coronavirus, has it changed the way they're doing anything out there right now? We'll discuss that next.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Farm Journal Hemp College is going south. Check out the upcoming college happening March 25th in Lubbock, Texas. This one-day farmer-focused event will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, and legal considerations. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions and see if it's a good fit for you. Register for Hemp College in Texas today by visiting agweb.com/events/hemp-college.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
A little cold weather never hurt anybody, but with typical number 2 diesel, it can do a number on your field equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. That's how Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Seasonally Enhanced optimizes cold weather performance. Or stick with your fair weather friend, typical number 2. Your choice. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Talking now with Robert Mullen. He is the Director of Agronomy for Nutrient Economics. That's with a K, EKonomics. Robert, when we look back at 2019, figuring out exactly just how much nutrient we lost in a really weird growing season, it's kind of a tough job, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly can be. So as you do look back on 2019, you know, we had a decent yield as far as the national average. There's obviously some areas that had some struggles. But this was the first time in the last 6 years that we were actually below trend line. So the question that farmers may be asking is just how much nutrient did I remove?
Exactly. So what is the best tool that available to growers to figure out just how much they did lose?
Yeah, certainly. One of the things that we really promote from our economics website is the nutrient removal calculator that we do host on the site. And what it allows a farmer to do is input some information about their operation. Really, all it is picking your crop, what your yield was that you actually achieved, hitting a calculation button, and then we can actually provide you just how much nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium that crop ultimately removed from the soil. And as you're thinking about P and K nutrition specifically, how much you should be considering as far as an application rate for 2020.
Yeah, and it's a really cool tool because, I mean, it's the different locations, it's the different crops. All of that is taken into account, isn't it?
That's absolutely correct. The crops that you can select from run the gambit. I think we have apples on there.
Yeah.
That's obviously not going to play much for those of us that live in the Midwest. We're obviously going to be focused on corn and beans. But we've collected a lot of information about a lot of different crops and just how much nutrient those various crops remove. And it's
very
all
cool.
Housed on that site.
Very cool. You got to take a look at it. It is at nutrient-economics.com. Thank you, Robert. That is Robert Mullen, Director of Agronomy for Nutrient Economics.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today for a farmer forum. We've got Sherman Newland from Illinois, Chad Ingalls from Iowa. And I'm going to do it, guys. I'm going to go to the politics, and because we just got through Super Tuesday, Biden had a big day. The Dow Jones Industrial Averages responded with a 500-point win because I believe part of the reason is that Sanders didn't perform as well as maybe it was anticipated. But, Chad, what do you make of the whole process so far?
Oh, it's been very entertaining to watch. I'm almost a little disappointed that a few of these people are dropping out because these debates have been kind of must-see TV.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Did I see that you are running for the State House?
I am. I just announced a week ago, and
okay.
I guess I've got a unpaid hobby here for the next 8 months running for that position. So,
well, good luck to you, Chad. No question about that. So, Sherman, what do you make of the whole process?
You know, it is interesting. Like I said, must-see TV with these debates, but it looks like the field's getting thinned down quite a bit. So it'll still be interesting to watch how they perform. But no, I agree. I think the stock market's reacting because Biden did have such a surprise strong showing yesterday with its move up today.
Yeah, you know, the volatility that has come into the equities trade, Chad, it's the coronavirus has gotten so much of the credit or blame, however you want to look at it, for the volatility that's come into the stock market. The way that it's acting after some of, you know, after Saturday's results out of South Carolina, after the results last night on Super Tuesday, there may have been more of a political punch into the volatility than the coronavirus, right?
Oh, I think so. It appears that way. It's been frustrating watching the stock market respond to the coronavirus and to the politics both. It's difficult to make decisions on a daily basis, or can be.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way that this that the grain markets are trading, and in particular corn, I'm going to single that out just because, you know, we lost about a dime last week. And then all of a sudden, Monday, Tuesday, we get it all back plus some today. The volatility isn't making your job any easier out there right now, is it, Sherman?
No, it's not. I mean, it's giving the guys some opportunity, but trying to outguess what this is going to, how it's going to affect the markets is, you know, it's just impossible to figure it out. I mean, we need China to come in and buy. We don't know if they're going to come in and buy because of the coronavirus and their, you know, slowdown over there. So it's really has kept guys on their toes. You know, you got to pay attention to where we're at and what's going to happen.
Yeah, Chad, USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue continues to say that there will not be a third round of MFP. President Trump has indicated that if there is support needed in agriculture, it will be there. If MFP isn't there for 2020, does it materially change your life?
Oh, I think certainly. I think a lot of farmers around the country are going to need to have that payment made, whether we want it or not, in the current market environment, especially if we have continued to have impacts from coronavirus or China not buying, something's going to have to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Sherman MFP 3.0, you think it needs to be there?
I would like to see it there. I mean, I'd rather have higher prices naturally.
Sure.
But it, you know, like Chad said, I mean, it's definitely going to help out a lot of producers, you know, with it, because these low prices, you know, and the outlook with our yield possibility and our carryouts look to be pretty big. So we could have even lower prices. So without some demand, you know, to come back into the market, hopefully from China, I think, you know, we're probably heading for lower prices. Plus, it's an election year, so, you know, maybe we'll get the MFP payment, whether Sonny thinks we need it or not.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, Sherman, the coronavirus, mm-hmm. has it changed the way that you're doing anything?
Us personally, no. But, I mean, I could see it, you know, being a big game changer for a lot of people as far as whether they're, you know, going to take a vacation or take a cruise or take a, you know, a international flight or whatnot. I think it's going to continue to make a big change in the country here in the next few months. And, you know, till this thing starts to hopefully wind down. I mean, you know, they're talking about, you know, canceling, even postponing the Olympics now. So.
Right. Well, and the supply chain, I think, you know, we talked with Margie Eckelkamp at the start of the show about the potential impacts or influence that it would have on the supply chain out there. A lot of active ingredients may not have been manufactured over the last couple of weeks, and it could change the availability of some of the chemical products that we need to get things started this spring. I don't know, Chad, you stocked up and ready to go?
Well, we've got our product all ordered and ready to go. I certainly hope it's going to be there. It's not in on our premises, so I hope it's in the pipeline.
Right, right. So has it changed the way that you do anything yet, Chad?
Oh, it's not changed the way we've done anything. However, I am on our local school board, and our superintendent had to sit in on a webinar here a couple of days ago on the coronavirus and what the Department of Ed is kind of instructing them and to do. And a lot of it is simple stuff that we should probably be doing to address influenza and the common cold on a regular basis.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, and it is a lot about being prepared and ready to go. Sherman, it's always good to talk with you, my friend. Thank you so much for making time for us. All right. That is Sherman Newland from Illinois. And Chad Ingalls, again, good luck to you, buddy. We'll keep tabs on how things are going for you leading up to the elections this fall.
Hey, thanks a lot. Good talking to you.
You bet. That is Chad Ingalls from Northeast Iowa. Wow, Davis. It is amazing how fast that half hour of AgriTalk goes every Wednesday when we get the guys on for the Farmer Forum. So you got to come back this afternoon. Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities will be joining us tomorrow morning. We got Greg Peterson. Machinery Pete is going to be on this week, and we're going to talk coronavirus influence with USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack.
Planting season is fast approaching. Are you confident your depth is set correctly, or are you assuming your T-handle placement is correct? From seeing thousands of planters across the country, the folks at Precision Planting have found that even when depth setting is the same across the planter, actual planting depth can vary by up to 3/4 of an inch, leading to erratic emergence row by row. A simple block check can be done to avoid this issue. Visit planterexpert.com to find a Precision Planting dealer who can help you get smarter every season and avoid row-to-row variability.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of TrivaPro fungicide, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.